Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 324. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth. Joining me is Lewis Pugh.
Hello.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello.
All right. In this episode, Colin and I will be talking about what we've been playing, so we've got a little bit of a return of the what we've been playing section. We'll move on from there onto a short news segment, focusing mostly on Bayonetta 2, on the Bayonetta 2 Direct that we had this last week. And we'll finish on our feature, that is listing the top 5 RPG and strategy games out on the Nintendo 3DS right now. So I'll just go ahead and dive into what I've been playing. I downloaded a little eShop game on the Nintendo 3DS called Azure Striker Gunvolt. It's a slight mouthful, I guess, but it's available on the Nintendo 3DS eShop, like I said, in North America. No word yet on a European release date yet.
No.
You poor souls. Now you get a taste of it.
It's history.
Anyway, it's a pretty good price at $14.99. I'll just kind of start right into talking about what this game's all about. It's an action platformer. It kind of takes place in a futuristic world. So basically, you just play Gunvolt. He is the Azure Striker. That's his nickname. And the gimmick in this game is that he is a psychic called an adept, and he has the ability to use lightning. His special move, I guess, is called a flash field. It's like a sphere of lightning that he can surround himself with. He can also use it to attack enemies. First, he has to tag them by shooting them with the blaster, and then using the flash field, which you just hold the A button or the R button on your 3DS to use the flash field. The flash field will automatically attack with a bolt of lightning enemies who are tagged. So it's actually, I don't know, it's a pretty... At first, it may seem a bit like a gimmick, but it's actually very, very cool. It makes using lightning really cool. Thanks in part, actually, to just, like, the sound effects and the graphics. It's just a cool game, and it's fun. It's fast-paced. I'm trying to think. I actually finished it pretty quick, so it's been a while.
Cool. I'm quite curious, really. I mean, going by what I've heard about the game, how it looks, and who's created it, how similar or not does it play to Mega Man?
Honestly, I can't answer that question very well. I did not grow up playing Mega Man. It was not one of those series is that I was familiar with growing up, and I've played a little bit of Mega Man now that I'm older. I've played Mega Man 2, because obviously that's the one everyone says you have to play.
Yeah.
So
I guess the question I should ask is, when you defeat each boss, do you get a new ability, which is kind of a
based on that boss?
Them? Yeah.
No, you do not. Although Gunvolt, okay, in this game, he does level up, and as you level up, you gain... Obviously, your stats get better, but you also gain skills. I think all of the skills, I don't think there are any passive skills. They're all skills that you actually assign to 4 different slots on the touch screen, and you can use those at any time during any stage, and so...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, leveling up in this game works pretty well. It's pretty fun. Surprisingly, my favorite part of this game, though, actually, is the graphics. The characters are all sprite-based, but it's just the cool... kind of futuristic environments that, I don't know, make me just want to go back to this game. I will probably in later months, possibly years, be like, oh, I got to get back into that game because it's just plain cool.
Yeah.
So, but it's good a good
to,
one.
It is good to also see, like, modern games take the 2D sprite approach and not just kind of the games which are trying to reimagine the retro games, as it were. I like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say, I'm also curious. Did you get the Mighty Gunvolt download with this game?
I did get it, and I did download it, but I haven't tried it, not even a little bit, because I was just focusing on Azure Striker Gunvolt. And after I finished Gunvolt, I actually moved on to Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright.
Ooh.
Which I have really been enjoying. I don't know if any of you or any of the listeners even have seen my posts on Miiverse recently, but there were a couple of frustrating moments that I had, but I'm enjoying the story, so that's good. But back to Gunvolt, yeah. I do have Mighty Gunvolt downloaded. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Is it just like a separately produced game that is just like Gunvolt but in 8-bits? I have no idea.
I haven't followed it too much. I mean, it's got some sort of cross between... I've forgot the name already. Was it Mighty Number 8?
Mighty Number 9?
Is it 9 or is it...
That's nine.
I'm pretty sure it's 9.
Yeah, it's 9.
Oh, of course, because he's the 9th, isn't he? Yes. Sorry, I was thinking of the number of bosses in the game. So, yeah, I think you can play as Beck. And I think you can also play as the main guy. Well, I guess as your striker. But yeah, I mean, I think it's more Mega Man-esque. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure it's just an 8-bit version of Azure Striker. Yeah, I've gone Vault.
Probably not. Now that it sounds like you actually know a lot more about it than I do. So I haven't been following Mighty Number 9 a whole lot, to be honest. But yeah, I would say generally, Gunvolt is worth it for the $14.99 for those of you in North America. The level design could have been better. I mean, there were a lot of times where I thought, like, oh, there must be a secret up there, because I'm a gamer, and I'm like, I'm looking for secrets, I'm looking to explore.
Yeah.
But then there's just nothing, it's just a dead end, and so I think the level design could use some improvements, but I don't know if there... People have said, like, I really hope that they make a sequel to this. Inti Creates, the studio responsible for it. I sure wouldn't say no to a sequel, and maybe they could take what they... I don't know. Learned in the first game and take some of those mistakes that they might have made and fix them for a sequel. So I sure hope that happens. It's a fun game. If you like action platformers, it's definitely a no-brainer. So that kind of just concludes my impressions on that game, unless you guys have any further questions for me.
The other thing I would say, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but I'm assuming it'd be a nice alternative to someone who's played like nearly all the Mega Man games.
Yeah, I think it is true that I can't quite answer this game as well as some other people might be able to, but I think because it was created by Inti Creates, which is a studio that was like some of the former Capcom employees went and created Inti Creates, it probably will be kind of a really fun little game for Mega Man fans, but
yeah, and it looks like a really good deal with the at least currently with the inclusion of Mighty Gunvolt as a separate free download.
Yes, yeah. And I'll call that my homework. I'll actually try to play that game and let you guys know what I think, possibly on the site and most definitely on the next podcast. I'll make that promise right now. All right, so we have some breaking news to announce. Colin got a Wii U.
Yeah.
Damn.
It happened. The dam has broken.
So I actually asked Colin. I know, Colin, you don't like the Mario Kart games, or you haven't in the past, but I hear you've been playing Mario Kart 8, and I am really curious to hear what you think.
Okay, well, first things first, I'll give my quick Wii U impressions. Okay, so when you first start the Wii U, you do that initial update.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which takes a long time. Okay, so guess how long that update took for me to do? I went around my brother's house to do it. I took around to his place.
And, so I'm curious now. I mean, does it come with any updates for yourself?
No.
Oh, okay. That's quite interesting. I assume by now there would have been some kind of installed on it.
Well, I think they did that. It was sort of halt production while they take some back. And so I just think they'll just shut it out and... You still have to do the living online update and all that. But so I took it around my brother's place to do. Now, his internet was down at the time, but I didn't know. But he's got a mobile dongle, right?
Okay.
But he's gone past his fair use limit, which means they throttled the connection.
Yeah.
So,
guess how long? Quite a while.
Well, have a guess.
8 hours.
Lewis?
It depends. For what sort of duration were you staying at your friend's?
Well,
was this like brothers?
Oh, your brothers. Oh, sorry. I'm going to go with a full day then.
Well, it didn't take that long, but I ended up having to stay the night. Yeah, it took 7.5 hours.
Oh, I was close. I should get a reward.
Yeah. You get to edit the podcast. There you go.
Oh,
it was agonizing. So, but no, we let it go. It took forever. But it did it. Well, yes, I put the Mario Kart 8 disc in because that's the game that came with it. And, yeah, it's. I didn't think it was that good.
All right.
It was. Let's see. The trouble is with Mario Kart for me is it's hardly changed since Double Dash, and I was really disappointed by that. No.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, what would you have liked to have changed? Let's start there, shall we?
Yeah.
Well, the single player could have been done overhauled a lot better rather than just it being Grand Prix and go. I mean, there's been so many kart games that have a much better single player mode. Like if you take, this is going back a bit in a few years, but Crash Team Racing on PS1, they had a whole story mode where I love to do Mario Kart. But
if we go to like a Nintendo reference, we had Diddy Kong Racing, which had its own whole campaign, as it were. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, I guess the reason why it doesn't bother me so much is I'm not sure whether it's because of the design of things like Mario Kart, but I kind of mostly play that game for its multiplayer. If it had this cool single player mode, I probably would play it.
So I'm not much of an online gamer, really. That's the trouble. But it is. I was so disappointed. I was like, oh, they've kept it. It's been the same since Super Nintendo, really. So
yeah, I guess in its structure. I mean, I really do like the track designs though in Mario Kart 8. What did you think of like the anti-gravity? And I guess if you haven't played, have you played 7 on the 3DS?
No.
So you've got like the underwater bits and the flying bits. I guess it would be new to you as well.
That's not new enough for Colin, though.
No.
Well,
that's a downer, isn't it?
Oh, I think we lost Colin, actually.
Oh, that's no good.
That would explain that.
Oh, possibly. Hang on. He's back.
Yeah, the connection
just jump
dropped.
Into talking about your impressions on anti-gravity. That's what we were talking about, right?
Okay. Anyway, so anti-gravity, the idea behind it, they could have just done something with F-Zero, really. I didn't think it was that great of an idea. It was just like, oh, so I'm not going to get F-Zero for a while then. But, it didn't leave much of an impression on me. I've only played it twice.
Have you played it multiplayer yet?
I did have a brother's place. We played it local.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. That's a good way to play it local.
It wasn't that great of an experience either, so I'll just leave it.
Fair enough.
I'm not a Mario Kart guy, I'm sorry.
You haven't been won over by 8 then? Yeah.
Once they overhaul the single player, I think I will. But I might have to wait a while.
So I think a good question would be then, are you, I mean, with your limited time with the game, do you think you'll purchase either of those the DLC packs? Because they are quite a, what I would consider a small amount for the what type of content you get. Mm. But is that enough to justify it for you so far?
What's that, sorry?
For the DLC packs, obviously you get the 4 extra cups, you get Link Animal Crossing characters.
Yeah, the Link DLC is tempting, but it's not enough to bring me back to...
Fair enough.
It's just not my thing.
Yeah, I think it's mostly a gameplay thing. I mean, we're getting new tracks, which is probably the most exciting thing for me.
Definitely.
But, it's not adding a story mode or anything like that. Yeah. And obviously it's not adding a halfway decent battle mode either, which is another thing that the Mario Kart series is having trouble getting. But yeah, Mario Kart 8, it just polishes, to me anyway, it just polishes like to a T, like just that Mario Kart experience that we all like. And so if you didn't like it before, then I don't expect Mario Kart 8 will change your impressions, to be honest.
It was just like a carbon copy of 8, Double Dash. I was like, this series hasn't changed at all, has it? In the how many years it's been around. So I feel like a bit of progression is needed before I'll become interested in it.
Yeah. And some battle arenas.
Yeah,
come
definitely.
On, Nintendo.
I'm very surprised, well, that they're giving us brand new tracks, but they're not giving us new battle tracks.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's an omission that should have made its way over to Nintendo, as in there's a chance there they can get people to give them money if they produce, you know, four nice battle tracks. I mean, and it seems like the system was set up just to kind of accept them, as it were. You can play Battle Mode online, it's just no one does because the tracks you use are rubbish.
Yeah. And I don't expect Nintendo to announce that anytime soon, because they've announced this pack number one for November, and then pack number two for May. I mean, I find it doubtful that Nintendo will suddenly be like, oh yeah, pack number 1.5 is coming out in whenever, and it offers some new battle arenas. I don't see that happening anytime soon. Maybe like a year from now. But unfortunately, Nintendo's just not focusing a whole lot on the battle mode, which is kind of all right for me. I mean, obviously, I do wish that they would fix that, basically, but I'm good just racing. I just love Mario Kart and racing with by myself or with others. I mean, it's a really beautiful game, Mario Kart 8, and I sometimes just like to get on and just admire the beautiful surroundings as I'm racing through these tracks.
Well, absolutely. I wouldn't take that away from the game. The game looks phenomenal. The water effects, all the game, as a graphical game, it looks amazing. It's just too short on gameplay. That's my problem.
All right. Well, I'm glad that someone on here doesn't have the exact same opinion as me, Lewis, and Harrison, I believe. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have these kinds of back and forth discussions. But moving on to our second section of the day, Nintendo news. This past week, we had a Nintendo Direct. Yay, Nintendo Directs. Focusing entirely on Bayonetta 2. And I actually asked Colin to talk a little bit about the Direct and the first Bayonetta, because he actually has played the first Bayonetta, which I haven't. And so, Colin, if you want to just dive right in to your thoughts on the Direct.
Well, my thoughts on the Direct was a bit strange. It was, you notice how these Directs that focus on the games act a bit like just an open tutorial.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, is any of this, what, you know, during the first like 10 minutes or so of the Direct, I thought, is any of this actually new to Bayonetta, or is this all stuff from the first game?
That's the thing. It was a lot of it was just like, oh, witch time and all this. It's like, that's exactly from the first game. I was like, I know they're showcasing it for the second, but you could do that already. But anyway.
Well, just to clear it up, what exactly did they announce? Because I am not familiar with the first game, obviously. What exactly did they announce gameplay-wise? Or obviously the costumes are new, but other things that are new in Bayonetta 2?
You see, the main new feature is... Okay, so in the first one, you had special moves that you could do, but when you fight bosses, but your character had to stay still, and you had to do a QTE sequence. Whereas in 2, you can now do it in real time. So it's, you can put off absolutely crazy stuff, and it's like, well, you know, which I'm actually really impressed that the game has absolutely no slowdown when all this is happening. But that's probably the main new feature. It looks like basically they just took Bayonetta 1 and we'll crank it up a bit, and there you go. But my main concern is the amount of action happening on screen, because towards the end of the first game, there was stuff on that and made your eyes bleed almost. And so what they're going to do for the second one, I don't know.
I feel that's almost like the appeal of this type of game, though, because it is kind of catering to a niche audience, and I feel that audience, or possibly is people who want to have almost like too much action happening and having it hard to focus and coming over that challenge just kind of getting into that zen moment and be able to just like conquer the game.
Well, that's right, and that's basically what Platinum Games is also known for. I mean, Mad World was insane, but yeah, so I guess basically the second one, the main new thing is again the I'm trying to remember what it's called. I watched it earlier today and I've forgotten already.
Is it the online co-op mode, Tag Climax?
There's Tag Climax, that's what it is.
Which is a great name in itself.
Yeah, which is, don't even go in there. It's bizarre. Yeah, so you got Tag Climax, that's an interesting little thing, because there's a side, so you got the main story mode, and now you got this alternate mode, where you fight hordes of enemies, and you just basically collect halo rings to, you can transfer that to story mode, power up your character, then you can basically, but it also lets you be characters that you couldn't be in the story mode. Like, you could be John and, what was it, Jean?
I think it's, like, pronounced kind of Jean.
Jean, yeah, because it's a two-word, yeah. And you could be Rodin as well, which, you know, everyone's wanted to be able to play with a character for a while now, so that's a big
one. Do you suppose any other... I mean, the release date's coming up pretty quick. I doubt that there will be other playable characters, like that little kid who I think is new to this game.
Yeah, Loki? He's a new character. Yeah, Loki, yeah.
Huh, I wonder what the odds are that he's playable in that.
Yeah, highly likely, I say. Because in the first game, there was a hidden character who, in the storyline, he's like a minor character.
Oh.
Oh.
We lost him again. Dang it! Yeah. Suspense.
Is he back?
Awesome. Shall I repeat that bit again?
Yeah, we were just talking about new unlockable characters for Tag Climax mode.
Yeah, so, okay, so in the first game, if you play the game on, I think it's like the highest difficulty or something, you get this character, you unlock this character, who is meant to be a minor character in the first game, but you can play as him, but he's really weak and pathetic. But, so, I don't know if they'll do the same thing with this kid, but...
So it's almost like an extra hard mode, then.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's basically, if you get hit once, you're dead.
Ooh,
yeah. So, it's, yeah.
Also, what I quite liked the look of in Tag Climax mode, the online co-op, is that it has this, what I'm naming the Kid Icarus difficulty system, which you can bet halos
you can to increase the
difficulty, and yeah. And so if you become victorious, you get even more halos as rewards, but obviously you lose them if you fail. I like that mechanic, so it's cool if you see that in this. And I like how it benefits the single-player game, and so you don't have to worry about like doing the co-op like before you do the story or after you do the story.
You can just
do it in between, and it will even help you in the main game.
Well, that's it. If you get stuck on a level, you can just go, I'm going to get a friend and I'll power up Bayonetta, then go back into the story and clear it. So
that actually makes me think of Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. I played that mostly online to begin with, and I got such good materials for good equipment, that is. I got such good equipment, playing online, that when I went back to single player mode, it was all pretty dang easy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool, especially with the whole teamwork aspect. I am a huge fan of co-op. I don't play Mario Kart 8 a lot online because it's a little too competitive. I get a little too excited and I don't like the feel of my heart racing as much as it does. So I really like the idea of a co-op online mode. So is anyone disappointed that this isn't local?
Oh yeah, I mean, I did have that thought initially when it announced, because they did announce it in that way as well. It's like, you know, online only co-op, opposed to online co-op. It was like, it's online only. But yeah, I think it might be a bit too crazy, it running side by side. But it would have been nice to have both. But well, I think it's a bit more forgiving of this.
I see the problem with that is, because it's, like you say, it's such a niche game. It is going to be such a niche game that I think it's going to be hard to find a friend who will also...
True.
Like it, because most people play this game for just as a story, or they don't really care about, you know, this two-player aspect. So, whereas online, you can, I've got a friend who lives over here, and he would love to do it, you know. So,
yeah. They kind of ran into that problem, Platinum Games, that is, with The Wonderful 101, which I never was able to find anybody to play that one in multiplayer with me. So that's a good point.
Yeah, that had up to 5-player local co-op, didn't it?
It did.
That's ambitious, that is. Just cool. I mean, this got me a bit more excited, though, for Bayonetta. I mean, I always thought it was going to be something I probably would pick up, just because it looks like a high-quality game, it looks like it's got tons of style, and it's a Wii U exclusive as well.
It's good.
Yeah, I really like the trailers in this. Especially the one they ended with, and...
Oh, that was epic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the status of this is in America, but I think it's really awesome that there's an option to buy an edition which has the original game in its own box.
Oh.
And so you can have just them side by side, Bayonetta 1, Bayonetta 2, in their own Wii U boxes. And
I'm not sure that's a thing here. I think we just, if you buy the packaged version of Bayonetta 2, Bayonetta 1 comes on that disc. There's possibly another disc in there, but it's all just in one package, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think it might be, or it's like a download code for Bayonetta 1. Yeah, I'm not sure they have a separate version or not.
I think that's the That's the first, is it first edition or something it's called?
Yeah, we get like three editions, which is odd. We get the one which is just Bayonetta 1, sorry, just Bayonetta 2 even, is 1 and 2, and then there's one which is like £10 more, which is basically that, but in a fancier package, from what I can tell.
I went out to my local game, and I was like, I want that edition, because it looks really cool, and they're like, well, we've already sold out, pre-order-wise. It's like, oh. So this game, at least where I'm living, is a fairly success already.
Yeah,
that's good to hear, especially after... I mean, it was a couple episodes ago we talked about Ubisoft's decision to stop making M-rated games on the Wii U.
Right.
So let's just hope for some success with Bayonetta 2 to prove them wrong. So there.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense because it is an exclusive, but it is good to see Nintendo put out like a 30-minute direct purely for Bayonetta 2, even though it's kind of completely out of their usual wheelhouse.
That's right.
It was almost odd seeing like this little Nintendo direct, and it was like... I can't remember this particular phrase someone said, but it's like it was like depending on which enemies you're fighting, they'll go into different traps or different like which
torture
devices.
That's right.
So was it like, and then they politely said, "So please try and experiment and torture as many monsters as you can." It tickled me, but yeah, no, I think it's really good that they're putting this big spotlight on the game.
Mm. Well. Especially the fact it's a mature rated game, which, like I say, it's not the usual thing that they do. So, but no, they're like, yeah, we'll push it, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was a little worried that they are kind of funding the game and supporting it in that way. But I thought that's it right. might just be a bullet point type game, and they were just kind of sneak it out once it was done, which they have done previously in some cases. Yes. But now they're giving it their full support, and that's great to see.
I mean, the Direct talked a lot about the different weapons that you can equip to Bayonetta's hands and feet.
And feet, yes.
That's right, yeah.
And it's just an action game. The first Bayonetta got rave reviews for just being a plain, good action game.
It did.
And so, as I was watching the Direct especially, I kept thinking to myself, Platinum, I mean, because obviously Sakurai is not going to, has already said that he's not going to make a sequel to Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh,
Platinum.
Yes.
I would love for them to make a sequel to Kid Icarus Uprising. Obviously not an M-rated one, because that's really not the style.
That'd be bizarre.
Yeah, not really the style of Kid Icarus, but wow.
But yeah, I agree. I think that would be awesome. A great partnership, because obviously Sakurai's take on Kid Icarus was pretty action-heavy. So yeah, I think they would do a really great job, and if they were to do it, I'd imagine them doing a home console version opposed to a portable edition.
Yes. And we'd actually get to see the finished storyline involving Magnus and some of the other characters in that game, in Uprising, that is.
Yeah.
I really was kind of disappointed that a lot of that, I don't know, there were a lot of loose ends in Uprising when you think about it, so.
Yeah, especially with kind of Sakurai's comment that, now I'm definitely not making a sequel to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just flat out, nope, not happening.
Dead and buried.
Yeah. Platinum Games, though, could revive it really well, I think, after after playing the Wonderful 101 and after seeing the Bayonetta 2 Direct, I think that would be a really good match, actually. I think we've kind of, unless anyone else has more comments on Bayonetta 2, I think we've pretty much finished up on that. You guys are good?
I think so.
Can't wait for it to come out, really.
Yep. October 24th here in the United States.
I think
is
it's
the
same.
There?
I think it's the same here as well, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So there you go, Bayonetta 2.
Well, actually, sorry, there's one vital thing we've missed. A piece of information which came out of this Nintendo Direct.
Was it the Fox costume?
Of course, the Fox cosplay costume. How did we forget that?
How?
So they already previously announced that we had Peach, Link, and Samus costumes for Bayonetta 1.
And Daisy. We had a Daisy costume as well.
Oh, yeah, of course, and Daisy came a bit later. And they're confirmed to also be in Bayonetta 2. As well as some sort of weird exclusive Fox costume for Bayonetta 2, not Bayonetta 1. I don't know why there's that distinction, but it exists. And it looks as bizarre, if not more so, than all the others.
I think it looks fairly natural. Aside from the ears and the tail, it looks it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with you. Beyond the ears and the tail, it looks perfectly fine.
I think out of all the... special costumes, this is the worst one of the lot. I was just like, come on. I think the Samus one looks really good, though. I thought that's the best one. Yeah, it really suits her.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that one, though, because the helmet looks a bit high up because she has a really big neck.
But you can see, that's the great thing about playing. We've played the first one, the special edition, and you can actually control the helmet during cutscenes. You can close it, open it, and
you can, yeah, you can just tap that button, and it
that's
goes
brilliant. That's brilliant. But no, the Samus costume is great because they showed some extra functionality as well. But you can actually roll up into the morph ball, roll around, it's like all these little touches. It's like, oh, great.
Yeah,
they've actually worked hard. Legit.
And also the directed cover, there is going to be some other costumes which aren't related to Nintendo stuff, and they showed off this Chinese costume, which I think actually looked fairly decent for an old costume. And so hopefully they have some other cool costumes as well.
Only hope.
Maybe they even stick some like Wonderful 101 things in there.
Huh? That's a
was it Wonder,
that would be
Wonder
awesome.
Pink costume. I'm the... Maya's prediction.
That would it would be totally appropriate, and it would it would totally rock too. So costumes. Also, it is like that attention to detail that we've already kind of talked about. The Fox costume, like, has Bayonetta with these, like, R-Wing guns and R-Rings on her feet. And so the attention to detail is really great. My thought on the Fox costume is that Nintendo is... This is one of Nintendo's ways of just subtly starting to build hype for the new Star Fox game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, we're making it, so get ready for it, folks.
So is this Platinum's next game? Are they the developer that Nintendo was looking for at E3?
Imagine that.
What are they going to do now?
Well, there's a little link to that, because Hideki Ikamiya did say he would like to make a Star Fox game one day.
People kept asking him on Twitter, so he said he wouldn't do it anymore.
True. So, yeah, that's a downside.
That was maybe, just to throw us off the scent, though.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, so that's the Bayonetta 2 Direct. If you haven't seen it already, go to Nintendo's YouTube or Nintendo's official site. It should be just like right there in plain sight, I should think. But we'll move on from that to the second part of our Nintendo news, and that is just the usual retro Redux update from myself. I haven't put any votes up recently, so you guys won't be able to vote on anything right now, but I still haven't mentioned on any episode yet the winner of the most recent vote, which is Star Tropics. So go Star Tropics. And you guys probably already saw that on the site. Many of our listeners possibly saw it on the site as well. But I actually, before I started playing Star Tropics, which I started it yesterday, I played plenty of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, which was actually really fun. I was smart enough. Well, I didn't really think about this. I just thought, like, I want to play this with someone. I wasn't thinking, like, this needs to be played with someone. But as it turns out, it does need to be played with someone. I got my brother to play it with me, which was a miracle, to say the least. And it was a blast. I mean, he's kind of anti-Nintendo, my brother, because he thinks I play... Well, I guess we sometimes get in battles over the TV. That's probably one of the reasons why he doesn't like Nintendo much. But he's a basketball guy. But I got him to play this game thanks to the fact that he's actually been playing Pokemon X. He does like some games, and the Pokemon games are some of them. So he's been playing Pokemon X for the first time, and he was pretty early in the game. And I told him, like, hey, I have a huge collection here. I can breed some Pokemon for you if you want to make the game just a little easier, because traded Pokemon are... They obviously grow faster, so that's one advantage to that. But I had this egg, and I was, you know, like, kind of... taking my time and hatching it for him. And so one night I thought, like, I'm going to get him to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with me. So I told him, like, I will not hatch this egg till you play this game with me. So we played the game.
Hold the egg hostage.
Hey, it wasn't his egg to begin with, technically, because I am the one who owns all these Pokemon. I'm the one who bred it. Yeah, whatever, however you want to say that. So yeah, it was a pretty fair trade. Actually, it wasn't that fair of a trade, because he actually really enjoyed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you asked him if he liked it, he would say no. He kept telling me as he was playing, like, I'm not enjoying myself, just so you know. But I could tell he was. And it is such a fun little beat-em-up game. I don't know. It's just got a lot of personality. Even my brother thought it was fun how when you kind of stop using your turtles, they look right at the screen, right at you. And so there's a lot of fun personality to this game. And we had a lot of fun. There was one point we were fighting a boss. I think it was the boss of the third level or something like that. And I died. I lost all of my rests. So you have continues, but you also have rests in the middle of the game. Each player has a couple of different rests. So if you lose them all, you're kind of just out until you continue or get game over. So we were in the middle of this boss, and I ran completely out of my rests. And he was just alone, and all of a sudden he starts freaking out. He even screamed, he'll probably kill me for saying this, but he screamed like a girl and was just like, oh no. So just long story short, we had a ton of fun. It's a fun game to play together. Although, next day after that, I kind of played it alone and realized, like, oh, this isn't that great alone. In fact, I thought, like, I'll give myself, like, a quick... I had, like, a half an hour. Actually, I had probably more than that, but I thought, like, I'll play this game for, like, a half an hour or so. It was actually fairly easy. I just kind of blazed through the levels. And I blazed through the levels and ended up playing a lot longer than I wanted to. It got really, really repetitive, and it could have been a little funner.
Yeah, that can be the problem with those arcade beat-em-ups.
Yes.
They are very rarely fun on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's fine, as long as you have someone to play with, which I have a couple older brothers who grew up on the NES, and so I think that if I had a chance to play with them, we'd have another great time together. So that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'd talk a little bit more about Star Tropics, but... I only just started it. It's actually really fun so far, so no worries there. I beat the first dungeon, got out onto the open sea, and came to the second dungeon, and that's kind of just where I'm at. I don't know how many dungeons there are total in Star Tropics, but that's kind of my progress in that game. And yes, it is a lot of fun. The puzzle solving is pretty simple but fun. The combat is, well, I don't know. It could be better. It's like Zelda. That's one of the reasons I don't like the original Zelda that much, is because the combat has just aged to me. I don't see how anyone could enjoy that at this point in time. But yeah.
So I think two shows ago, I actually made the commitment that if this game did come up, I would also follow you along on Star Tropics.
Because you missed out on it?
Or? Yeah, no, I believe it was Star Tropics, which I said that, you know, if that game wins... I will also play it and give my opinions. So with that news, I will have some updates once I've purchased and played through the Virtual Console copy on next show.
Yeah.
So that should be fun.
There's something else for you to look forward to for next episode. But what you have now, though, is our feature. Today we are finally going to finish our top 5 RPG/strategy games that are out on the 3DS right now. Last episode we talked about this, which was actually 2 episodes ago. We just kind of talked about all the games that are out right now. Not quite all of them. By the end of the list, I was like, I had better skip some of these so that we don't end up spending an hour just on this. So I kind of just listed some of the ones that we decided would probably, based on what our impressions were, what should be on the top 5 list. But first, we actually have a few listener opinions here. First, we have Justin Riley, a fellow Infendo contributor, who gave us his top 5 RPG strategy games on the 3DS. His number 5 is Mario and Luigi Dream Team. He says it's not great, but it's fun and unique in its own goofy way. His number 4 is Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. He says the data transfer is a great concept, and it's really the only one that has been really fleshed out for, you know, like connectivity between the Wii U and the 3DS, so that's good. Gives it brownie points for sure. His number 3 is Bravely Default. He has only played the demo, but he can't wait to buy the full game. I actually talked to Justin on this, and he said he was considering either Fire Emblem Awakening or Bravely Default. And when he said that, I thought, oh, that's a no-brainer, Fire Emblem Awakening. Yeah, so I'll get to that in a minute, though. But his number 2 is Pokemon X/Y. He says the mainstream Pokemon games are always great, and this is no exception. But his number 1, of course, is Fire Emblem Awakening. He says it's a great game all around and is totally addicting. Those are his words there. So that was Justin Riley's top 5. And then we have some comments from a longtime listener and reader of the site, Risen Devil. I just wrote down some of his comments summarized here. He says Bravely Default is awesome. He's played both Etrian Odyssey games, and they are unique to the 3DS library, so that gives them bonus points. Oh, okay, and he had this Fire Emblem comment that I thought was totally irrelevant. He says, Fire Emblem Awakening was an amazing game up until I saw how easy it was to break the game and significantly reduce its challenge and enjoyment. I did, however, love the anime cutscenes and wish we had more. So, let's just pause there. Okay. I think that, when Lewis and I discussed what game should win the 2013 Game of the Year award, I didn't want it to be Fire Emblem Awakening, because even though I think that is a great game, there were some problems with it, and I think that's what Risen Devil is referring to here. He says, how easy it is to break the game and significantly reduce its challenge. I think that probably is referring to the fact that you can buy, pretty early on in the game, these things called Reeking Boxes, that summon the Risen Warriors to the map, and you can basically grind that way, but it does end up making the game fairly easy.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on that? Colin, it sounds like you...
Well, see, this is Fire Emblem Awakening. I enjoyed it. It was good. But, yeah, I didn't think it was as good as the GameCube game, which is still my favourite to this day, because it is. Once you figure out you can do that tactic, you just keep grinding.
I lost him again.
That's right. I'll jump in with my bit here then.
Yeah, go ahead, Lewis. Actually, no, Colin, you can... Let's just carry on where you were at.
Okay.
I knew you'd be back eventually.
Yeah. My connection is based on the weather, it seems, because it's just started raining. Anyway. So, Fire Emblem Awakening is not as good as the GameCube game. It's the first of all. Yeah, the GameCube game, which to me is still my favourite. But because, yeah, it's too easy to... Well, once you figure out you can break the game by grinding, it's too easy. I was like, well, that's not Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I feel like the strategy becomes a little irrelevant.
You just charge in there and you guarantee victory.
Yeah, that's how it felt to me too.
So I'm getting confused over here. Because at the point you felt it was too easy, did you crank up the difficulty?
No.
Can you do that mid-game, though?
No, you can't, to be fair, no. But, the harder difficulty modes in this game are pretty tough. And I would go as far to say that they are very tough. I can't remember what they're called now, but I remember playing on at least the most difficult one I could access. And just the first couple of stages are really tricky to get through. And obviously you can choose between having the permadeath on and off, which I think if you've got that on, then I don't think it's that easy, because, you know, just one bad move and you've lost this great character, so I think it keeps you on your toes. And then again, I'm not really a lover of grinding, so I didn't really overdo that. So, I don't know. I think it had a lot of different options, which I appreciate. And I know I do have a save file which I've not made much progress in on the highest difficulty mode, which I felt was brutal. Which I quite liked, but I've not got very far in it.
Well, that was kind of my problem, though. Once I realized, I beat the game first on whatever the first mode is. I'm kind of like you, Lewis. I can't remember what these modes are called. But so just like the regular mode, that's what I played first. I beat the game. I thought that was actually fairly easy. So I tried the next mode or the next difficulty up. I got to a level, before you can buy Reeking Boxes at all, and I could not get through it for the life of me, even if I had casual mode on where permadeath was turned off so that you didn't lose characters forever. I'd still lose the match because Crom or my avatar died, and so I couldn't even get through that. And I just thought that it was a bit too high of a jump, actually. Yeah, and so I didn't feel like there was a middle ground that I... liked. So that's my problem with Fire Emblem Awakening. It still is a great game, though, and so I think it deserves a place really high up on our list. I'll say that. I just think that Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, which is not part of this discussion, but was part of last year's Game of the Year discussion, I think that game is better just because of the gameplay difference. But Risen Devil's next comment is on Heroes of Ruin. He says, it's one of the best games in the 3DS library to play online, thanks to drop-in, drop-out multiplayer and voice chat. However, it didn't offer too much of a challenge, so that was kind of a downfall for Heroes of Ruin. Okay, and then he has this comment. I wanted to put all of his exact words here as well. He says, I've seen everybody say it, but what was so bad about the Paper Mario Sticker Star story? The game is meant to be goofy and fun, not deep and compelling, and I feel like it delivered there. Why did everyone dislike it so much? So he's talking about the story of Sticker Star here.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I didn't really have a huge problem with the story, per se. It was more to do with just the mechanics and the feel of the game. It's hard to pinpoint it exactly, but I can say for the record that, you know, the original Paper Mario really grabbed me and compelled me to go through the Huntar game, but for whatever reason, this game didn't. And I've kind of felt lost interest in it fairly early, and I, even trying to, you know, really deliberately play the game, it was a struggle. So I'm not sure what particularly was about it, but it never quite clicked with me.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression that I got when you made a comment on a way previous show where you just said it just kind of drained you.
Yeah.
Trying to get through that gameplay.
So, I mean, I've obviously owned the game, so I will give it another a stab at some point. But yeah, it was disappointing, at least initially.
Yeah. I'm afraid I haven't played Sticker Star, so I can't really comment on this. So I really want to see someone defend this. Colin, you can't be with that person, can you? Have you played Sticker Star? I forget.
Well, this is confession time again. I have never played a Paper Mario game.
I haven't really either.
Oh, you should head over to the virtual console on your Wii U in Wii mode, of course, and pick up Paper Mario because that is a thing.
Yeah,
it'd be a good deal.
Yeah, one of these decades, I'm going to get around to playing all the Paper Mario games. Hopefully, that is a little daunting, but I want to find out myself. Yeah, how Sticker Star stacks up against its predecessors, and right now I can't really do that, even if I played the game. Like, I actually own it, but I haven't played it, so... But even if I played it, I wouldn't really be able to compare it to any of the other Paper Marios, so...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't... Well, I don't think we can put this one... We probably can't put it on the list at all, just because of our limited experience with it, and even with Risen Devil's comments... I'm not sure that I would be willing to put it on the top five. Top five is pretty slim, and so...
Yeah.
This game... Sticker Star, unfortunately, probably will not make it. But as far as what our list actually is, I kind of listed... What do I have here? Five games. Gosh, I should have listed more, but I listed five games that we kind of talked about last episode that, especially based on what we all have played, are the most likely to be in the top five. Or yeah. To be the top five. I have Kingdom Hearts, Dream Drop Distance, Fire Emblem Awakening, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, Pokemon X and Y, and Bravely Default. And I've kind of put an exclamation in my notes anyway next to Pokemon X and Y as like a Harrison favorite because it's the only one that he's played as far as RPG and
Wins
strategy
by default.
Games go. So... but I don't know, we can order these later, but as five games that need to be on the list, does that sound good, or would anybody like to add something different? There's, like, Mario and Luigi, for example.
Well, the only thing I would say is, the last time when we started this list, there was a glaring omission, and I realized it after we did the show, and that was Project Crosszone.
Which I never played.
Yeah, no, I did play that.
What? Okay, wait. Give me the title again.
Project Crosszone. It's cross with, it's spelled CROSS, but it's
No, it's actually spelled X.
Yeah,
but it's pronounced CROSS.
Yeah.
Well, what's it a crossover of?
What's the three companies?
It's what Sega, Namco, Sega, and Capcom, I believe.
Capcom, that's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty promising. It's an RPG or a strategy game?
It's a strategy RPG, yeah. It's very similar to Fire Emblem. So.
I'm not sure how similar
you would
to Fire
call
Emblem.
That a glaring omission? You'd put it in here? You'd put it in the top five?
So for me, if I do my list, yeah. For me, it'd be like number four or five. Because I like that game. It's really good fun. The trouble was, the storyline made no sense because they try to crowbar in all these characters. But, it was a good game. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Here's a question, though. You have played Bravely Default, right?
Yes.
All right. Would you... Because I'm not a huge fan of Bravely Default.
No.
I would probably take Bravely Default off of this list in favor of something different, like Mario and Luigi Dream Team, or possibly Project Cross Zone. Is that it?
Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
Okay.
See, I'm not a big fan of Bravery. See, Bravery Default, I really enjoyed the start of it, and then it lost the plot, so...
Ooh, yes.
So, yeah, I steer clear of it, so...
Yeah, I still haven't beaten it, thanks to that massive downturn, or yeah. Downgrade, whatever you want to call it, in terms of the story, and even the gameplay kind of lost it, or it overstayed its welcome, yeah. I would say, so... Yeah, I don't know. It's got its good moments, but you get later on in that game. And if you haven't, listeners, if you haven't played it yet, I don't know. Don't let our negative comments here deter you from getting it. Because it really is. It's beautiful in terms of graphics. Some of the backgrounds are completely gorgeous, as I've mentioned a million times. And the gameplay is pretty solid. So it's got to
say as well, yeah, especially if you can get it for a good price, you can still get, you know, a real decent amount of gameplay out of it before you hit this infamous point.
So, okay. There's only two on this list that I have, which I have added that project.
Project Cross Zone.
Zone.
That's right.
I've added that here just as a visual thing for me to look at. Out of these games that we have here, I would actually be inclined to take off Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate and Bravely Default.
Why are we taking off Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate? Oh, what, because it's the 3DS version?
Yes. I kind of explained that last time. Yeah, but I don't know. It's just the Wii U version outshines it so much.
That's a matter of perspective, because I never played the Wii U version. I played strictly on 3DS. I did the whole game in single player. Yeah, so after playing it for like 800 hours, you know, on single player, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. So I don't know. For me, it should be on the list.
Yeah, but yeah, no. I think Monster Hunter needs to get some sort of placement out on the top five, because even if it is the inferior version of the game,
it's not inferior.
It per se, if it was.
You need to get it on your Wii U and find out.
It's quite expensive.
It's still got the same content, as it were, and, you know, the version me and Holly have played mostly, obviously, the Wii U one, but, they're in theory the same game. So, just as much as I've played that game, I think it deserves a spot on it. It's definitely my most played out of all these.
Okay, so let's put Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the list. Okay, another comment, kind of random. Pokemon X and Y have to be on the list. Any disagreements?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I think it's a fairly safe one as well.
Yes. And we don't want to let Harrison down.
That's true, isn't it?
So, yeah.
We can't put the one game, or we can't take the one game that Harrison has played off of this list. So that's got to be on there. Also, Fire Emblem Awakening has to be on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adding up to three that absolutely must be on there. So that only actually leaves room for two more. We have Kingdom Hearts 3D, Bravely Default, Project Cross Zone, and Mario & Luigi Dream Team. So any thoughts on what has to be on there?
Which of us have played Mario & Luigi?
I haven't played it.
No. Did you play it, Colin? Ah, okay. No. So we're going by user suggestion on this one.
Yeah, Justin Riley, who actually put it at his number five. So
it's low down the list. And he did say it's not great, so...
Yeah.
But now I've heard it's better than Sticker Star, which I've played, but I can't say I've played Baron Luigi for my comparison. Yeah. So we've got Project Cross Zone, we've got Bravely Default, and...
Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts.
This is where it gets
Kingdom Hearts I've not played, so does any... Who wants to argue Kingdom Hearts placement on there?
Oh, me and Colin are the ones who've played it, and I like it a lot.
It's a brilliant game. Absolutely brilliant.
I think I could see it being on there. It seems like a quite meaty game, as it were. And if you like that universe as well, there's a lot of attractive points to it. I'm happy for that to be on the list.
Huh.
Sounds good.
That means that
I'm not going to argue against it.
that would mean, though, that either Bravely Default or Project Cross Zone wouldn't be on the list.
Ooh.
One of those would have to be cut.
Mm.
I'm just going to say, let's put Kingdom Hearts on there.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty old game. in terms of the 3DS's lifespan, that is, but
yeah.
I really like it. I'd go back to it. It does have CirclePad Pro support, and when I got my CirclePad Pro, I actually tried it out with it, and it was really pointless, because you can move the camera without the CirclePad Pro.
That's right,
you can move the camera easily enough with the shoulder buttons. So all the CirclePad Pro adds is camera movement that you don't really need to begin with. So,
no.
But that's kind of a different topic entirely. My point is, I think that Kingdom Hearts should be on the list.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're deciding which game to cut out of Bravely Default and Project Cross Zone.
Well, see, Project Cross Zone I played until I haven't finished it yet, but I think I'm kind of towards the end. So just on that basis alone, I think Project Cross Zone's a better game.
I mean, even though my kind of complaints about Bravely Default, I'm not sure I've played Project Cross Zone anywhere near as much as I have it. So I'm not sure it's fair to for myself to compare it in that way.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I think I do like Project Cross Zone, but it seems it's all kind of at face value almost. I don't think there is actually that much strategy to it. It seems just quite repetitive. I mean, and it's cool to see all the characters fight against each other from the three different companies, as it were, and all the different universes, and like you got characters from Resident Evil talking to Mega Man and all sorts of nonsense happening. So that is pretty cool, but I don't know. I mean, for some reason, Bravely's winning on my side, just because of the kind of the modern elements it kind of brings to the RPG. And it's a shame it kind of does have that nosedive which we've mentioned. But I don't know, there's still a lot of good in that game. And as well as like the street pass features and the sleep mode features. And all that stuff as well, and the internet friend stuff. I had a lot of fun with the time I had with it, still.
See, that's true, because Bravely Default does take a lot more advantage of the 3DS's abilities than
even that silly little QR video at the beginning, I thought that was pretty cool.
That's very impressive, that. Yeah, that's cool.
So out of the two, I'm leaning towards Bravely Default.
I am too, but only because I didn't even know about either game. I'm tired of saying the title of it even.
Yeah.
But I guess I should try to give it a shot at some point.
It's worth a go. Yeah, I now I'm leaning towards Bravely Default as well, because I've been convinced.
Mr. Salesman.
I guess. But yeah, we'll go Bravely.
So now we've got this simple job of ordering these in.
Yes. Actually, I do think this is going to be fairly simple.
Okay.
And my reasoning behind that is that I'm just going to say right now, Fire Emblem Awakening is number one.
Yeah. Ooh. It was a... What do you reckon?
I was going to say Monster Hunter is number one. But then people are going to argue because it's the inferior version. So, it's... No, for me, it's
Well, I played Monster Hunter for quite a bit on the Wii U, too. But I didn't play it as much as I played Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah. Which is pretty impressive.
I was going to say, that's very impressive. I probably played like 30 hours of Fire Emblem and then I stopped. Compared to like 800 hours of Monster Hunter. So there's a bit of a gap, Well, not so much a gap, a chasm. So, Monster Hunter for me.
So what do you think, Lewis? Be the tiebreaker.
I'm thinking it will be Fire Emblem, purely because it's built for the system, in that sense. But I think it, I don't know, I think maybe it's got a bit more character to it than Monster Hunter.
Yeah, it's more well-rounded, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's got those awesome cutscenes, and it's got a more fleshed-out storyline, that's for sure, than Monster Hunter, which, is not really saying a whole lot, but at the same time... Yeah.
And if you want the kind of the additional content which isn't so much focused on story, it has all those missions that you can like buy on the DLC, and some of them were free.
I never even got any of those.
Yeah. So it's kind of got that stuff going for it, which is, I guess, it's kind of going down that kind of grindy Monster Hunter type bit, that if you just want more of the game because you're kind of just really into the game, there's a lot of stuff there that you can play through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning more towards Fire Emblem.
Yeah, and seeing as how this is position number one on the list, it's like you mentioned, Lewis, it was built for the system, and so I wouldn't want to... I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't really want to see a game that is not built was not built for the system on the number one spot.
It's a bit ironic, really, because obviously the initial release of Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate was the 3DS version, which they up-res to the Wii.
Oh my goodness, I never knew that.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because I guess it's kind of how we know, obviously 4 Ultimate's coming out here. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be a Wii U version or not, but, you know, the main version came out on the 3DS first. And that's why it doesn't have some of the features which they then added to the Wii U version, which is when they brought them over here, is why, say, the 3DS version doesn't have the internet play, because it was the first version which was made, and they added it when they did the Wii U version, which had a few extra bits in.
That is a good bit of information, but I still think that we should put Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the number 2 spot, mostly just to satisfy Colin. Honestly, I would want to put something else at number 2, but...
you can, you know, if you want to move it down, I'm just going to feel...
We got to put Pokemon somewhere pretty high up
there.
That's
true.
All right, just for Harrison's sake, of course.
So we should put that in 3 for now? I mean, we can always run through these again.
Three?
No, I was thinking 1 Fire Emblem, 2 Monster Hunter, 3 Pokemon. I mean, not concrete positioned, but, you know, we'll place them there for now. We'll kind of decide 4 and 5, and then we can go over the list again and see if things need shuffling around.
Yeah, good point.
Okay.
So, contending for spots number 4 and 5, we have Kingdom Hearts 3D and Bravely Default. I would be inclined, again, to put Kingdom Hearts above Bravely Default. Because Kingdom Hearts, unlike Bravely Default, does not lose... I don't know. It doesn't lose steam like Bravely Default does. It just...
You can recommend it as a full game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. So that would be my thoughts on that. Any disagreements? I'm just going to put them like that, unless you guys...
No, I'm going to try and stay out of this one, because I don't own one of those games.
Oh, good point. All right. So Kingdom Hearts gets the unexpected spot in number 4, the number 4 slot of our list. And Bravely Default comes in at number 5. Let's see. I'm writing these down with pen and paper, literally. So now the only thing we have to do, Fire Emblem Awakening is number 1 guaranteed. All we have to do now is decide which one, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate or Pokemon X and Y, gets the number 2 spot. And which gets the number 3 spot.
It's tricky, because they're kind of similar in their own way, in their sense of where they sit in their series. Because you could argue that Pokemon games are relatively similar to the one which came before it, but with, you know, added features and monsters and so on. And the same could be said for Monster Hunter, really.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, so what kind of made the most impact on these particular games?
That's a good question.
See, Pokemon X and Y was the first one to be in... All the Pokemon were full 3D.
Yeah.
So
I feel like it was a big jump, graphically. Plus maybe. The internet. Okay, bonus points to Pokemon for the way it uses the internet. Because it's just fantastic. You can just connect to the internet, and you're instantly connected to a whole range of passers-by, plus your friends, if you have them. And you can, like, any time, almost... ask to trade or battle, which I thought was fantastic. It made the game really cool. It's a game that I want to play. I want to connect it to the internet, and I want to play it online even more so than other games, like even Mario Kart, because it's like I mentioned earlier, I can only handle so much of that, like, intense feeling of competitiveness, whereas battling with someone else is a lot more laid back. And so,
and it makes it really nice and easy. Nice and easy for you to do that, and it just kind of sits on that second screen. Yeah, I think they've done a fantastic job, and it ends. Kind of the Pokemon series in general has done that for a little while now. You know, the past previous games have had really good online play when nothing else even had competent online play on the DS. But yeah, no, X and Y does take it a step further as well. Doesn't rest on its laurels, at least on that aspect of the game. You could, you know, of course, you could argue that just kind of the main structure in terms of story, 8 badges, 8 gym leaders, as it were, for Elite Four and their champion, has kind of just been the set structure for all the games, and there's no really good reason why that's the case. They could always spice that up a little bit.
Yeah, especially in terms of story. I think they need to make the storylines in Pokemon games more mature, but I'd still, my argument here would be that Pokemon needs to be above Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate and be at number 2. That's my thing. And while Colin is still connected,
yes,
Colin, do you want to argue for Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate being at number 2?
My connection's dead.
While Colin's connection's dead, I'll do a little argument for him, shall I?
Which, sure.
I know we just praised
lost him again.
Yeah, we just praised Pokemon's online capabilities. Actually, I was gonna back up Monster Hunter there, but I'm thinking of the Wii U version yet again. Yeah, the only way you can take the 3DS version online is by downloading an app to the Wii U and connecting one to the other, and the Wii U has to have an Ethernet connection and not a wireless. And it's a bunch of hoops you've got to go through, but it's possible, but it's definitely not as convenient as Pokemon. So yeah, no, Pokemon definitely wins on the online stuff.
Wait, wasn't that supposed to be your
It was, but that was just because initially I was thinking of the Wii U version. It's going to go, well, we've just spoken about all Pokemon's core online stuff, but of course, you know, Monster Hunter, you got voice chat going throughout, it's all this and that, and it's like, wait a minute, nah, we're talking about the 3DS game. It technically does have that stuff, but you need an actual Wii U and a Wii U gamepad next to you. Which is weird, but it does work. You use the gamepad's microphone.
That's
all right.
Bizarre. And you...
So yeah, it is. I like the use of the gamepad, especially for voice chat, because it's really convenient. But let's just go through and just get a quick vote. Who would vote what? Who wants Pokemon at number 2, and who wants Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate at number 2? My vote is Pokemon at number 2, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate at 3.
I feel you know what the outcome was. Mine is the same.
Well, I'm going to be defiant to the end. Monster Hunter 2, Pokemon 3.
Well,
guess what?
It is on the list. Monster Hunter, it is on the list. So.
That's not bad. I'll take it.
You know, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate is on its way, and that's one of the reasons why I'm like, oh, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, who cares about you? I'm just looking forward to 4 Ultimate.
Yeah, me too.
And that's actually part of the reason I wanted to do this feature at all, is to think about all the great RPG and strategy games that are currently out on the 3DS, as well as to look ahead. I mean, we've got Fantasy Life on the way, and also Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. So I think that the future is looking good for RPG games on the 3DS. But for now, we're probably just going to finish off this list with Pokemon at number 2. So the list, let's end this podcast just listing off these games. Our top 5 RPG/strategy games on the Nintendo 3DS right now are number 5, Bravely Default. Number 4, Kingdom Hearts 3D, Dream Drop Distance. Number 3, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. Number 2, Pokemon X and Pokemon Y. And number 1, Fire Emblem Awakening. Not Colin's list, for sure.
It's not my list.
But it is an opinion thing. Everyone will kind of have a different list. It's just that me and Lewis happen to form the majority here with our similar opinions on this. But that concludes our listing of the top 5 RPG strategy games on the Nintendo 3DS. And with that, we are finished with the show itself. So thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to contact us and give us your list of top 5 RPGs on the 3DS, feel free to do that, or give us any other comments or questions. You can leave a comment on the post if you're in your web browser, or you can send us an email at contact@infendo.com. So please do that. We love to hear from you. With that, thanks again for listening, and this has been Infendo Radio.
See you next time.
Bye.
See you later, guys.